cricket tonight. Cricket tonight. Season 3. Champions Trophy.
Hello and welcome to Season 3 of Cricket Tonight. Here with you today is your host, Pralab Gupta. Alongside me in Melbourne, I have Govind Krishnan. How are you today?
It's great to be here.
And across in India, in Bangalore, we have our Indian correspondent, Amit Srivastava. How are you today?
Hi, everyone. Great to be back.
I just want to say we've been getting a lot of fan mail between Season 2 and Season 3. A lot of fans can't wait to hear us back. More so because of Pralab singing in the intro more than actual discussion about cricket, to be honest.
Yeah, look, that's true. Look, I've the phones have been ringing. Not so much about getting me into a big label with Sony or the other partners out there, but more about getting me off the air. But I'm back. I've decided to rebel, and here I am with a new song for Season 3 of Cricket Tonight. But it's been a really interesting year in the world of cricket. We've had a lot of cricket for India at home. And Gov, what have been your thoughts on India's dominant home season over the last 4 or 5 months?
I was really impressed with how India have really dominated the home season over the past year, year and a half. But there is a flip side to that. India hasn't really won a test series away in a long time, more so because they haven't had the opportunity to win one. Now, moving into a big tournament like this, I just hope India will be up for the challenge.
Yeah, and it's a really good opportunity for India to start making their credentials. I think you're right, they haven't had the opportunity overseas. They have one in Sri Lanka, but this is the first start of a long set of overseas tours that India has, both in the ODI and Test arena. Now, I mean, you closely followed the IPL. What were your thoughts on the season that we just had?
It's an interesting season. One thing that was a bit disappointing was there wasn't so much great performances from a lot of Indian players, which is a bit disappointing. But I guess after such a good and dominating Test series, and it's been a long series for the players, it's a bit understandable. So that's one thing. So looking at the Champions Trophy, I don't want to take too much into that because it's IPL, it's a different format, it's a different, you know, T20, and the IPL format's completely different in itself. But overall, I've been really, really happy with following Indian cricket. They've been completely unbeatable, and they've beat everybody. And they have done well in overseas tours, in the limited format at least, if you think back to the last ICC World Cup and the Champions Trophy that we had. They've done well. So I'm optimistic about how it will go this time.
One thing I will say about the recent IPL is that two of the top three Indian batsmen aren't actually in the squad. So I hope that the Indian batsmen that were selected in this squad will be in form and ready for this tournament.
Yeah, look, it's a really valid point, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the squad details. But it was fascinating to see in the IPL, Harbhajan Singh, member of the winning squad for Mumbai Indians, made that comment. He felt selectors had been a bit harsh on some of the decision-making they've played on the back of his really strong IPL. And he had Gautam Gambhir, who was one of the top leading run scorers in the IPL, dominant in the KKR. And he made the comment that IPL form does not translate to ODI form. It's a completely different format, and you shouldn't be basing decisions on T20 on the basis of ODI form. So he actually called out to selectors, don't select me for the team because I may perform in IPL, but that's a different set of standards that you'd apply in ODI, which is more the one-day tournaments that you had in India earlier. But we will get into that. The important thing to note here is the Champions Trophy. It's a tournament for 8 teams. West Indies didn't qualify for that. We've got our two groups available. Group A, Australia, England, Bangladesh, New Zealand. Group B, India, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. And the top two from each group end up qualifying for semi-finals. Now, ICC tournaments in the past have had big issues and big criticism of running for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and, you know, often into multiple years, which that's an exaggeration, of
multiple
course.
Multiple years.
You know, over the course of December, January, perhaps. But the whole point here is it's a really short, sharp tournament. So it's a tournament where you've got 3 games each. If you fail to perform in them, you'll probably be out. And then you've got a semi-final and a grand final. And India are the defending champions in this tournament. It's really important to acknowledge that. Last tournament was in England. India dominated. They defeated England in the final. And India right now are the defending champions of this tournament.
One thing I will say is that I wish West Indies and Zimbabwe would have made this tournament. West Indies are always a very entertaining team. we saw in the recent 2020 World Cup, West Indies weren't the favourites to win it, but they added a special flavour to the whole tournament, and I think they'll be sorely missed this time around.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Like, because Gov is right, the West Indies are an attractive team to watch, at least in the T20 circuit, and it's been disappointing not to see them here today. What are your thoughts on the Champions Trophy being the top 8 teams rather than the top 10 that you might see in a World Cup?
Well, I like this format. It's sort of short and sharp, and it only gets the best of the best to play. So that's one. It's different to the World Cup. It's different to other World Cups and other ICC events that there are on. But regards to the West Indies, I do feel that they'll be missed because, as we all saw in the last T20 World Cup, they, you know, took the victory and no one expected that to happen. And they've always been that kind of team, at least in the last recent years. They've always been the kind of team that nobody thinks about them and then they'll sort of come up and surprise you. So they will be missed, but, you know, but the top 8 teams in Bangladesh have done really well to make this top 8 before. You wouldn't even think about Bangladesh as an international team, and now you think about them as a legitimate threat. So they've come a long way, and I think that's good. But yeah, I think the West Indies will be missed, and you know, hopefully next time we'll see them in the ICC Champions Trophy.
Yeah, look, and I agree. We've got the ICC World Cup, which has moved to 10 teams, and the Champions Trophy, which is 8 teams. The only comment I'll make is the decision on which the 8 teams were was made in, I think, the end of 2015. So my kind of view on it is I agree with the fact there's 8 teams, but that decision and cutoff point needs to be a lot closer to the actual tournament rather than 2 years out from it, because you've got a whole change in dynamics that can exist in the last 6 months.
I just don't understand why the World Cup and the Champions Trophy are shrinking more than expanding. I think some of the teams that are on the fringes, like Zimbabwe, Kenya, Ireland, Scotland, these teams should be given an opportunity to compete against the best teams in the world. And if they don't get those opportunities, they won't keep improving. And I think it's a shame that world cricket's shrinking more than expanding.
Yeah, look, it's a good point. And it's one that I think the way the ICC has looked at it is T20 cricket is the avenue to grow the game. But it's a really interesting point on the ICC. Now, we've got three hosts here today, Gov, myself, Army, the big three in the world of cricket tonight. But the reality is the big three is dead in the ICC. And right now, there's a big power struggle going on, which will probably culminate at the end of June with a big ICC conference going ahead. So it will be fascinating to see what happens in the ICC going forward. I think they'll start to open up a lot of pathways. Ireland, for example, and Afghanistan are looking into test cricket as being the next form. And then the logical extension goes through. If you're happy to give people opportunities in test cricket, how does that translate into ODI cricket as well? And I'm sure that conversation will come through. Now, let's switch back to the Champions Trophy and kick off with the groups. So Group A, we've got the four teams, Australia, England, Bangladesh, New Zealand. Two of them go through. Now, let's just kick off with Australia. Gov, what are your thoughts on Australia's chances this tournament?
I think Australia has a great chance. In every tournament, Australia should be the favourites, just because of their history of winning big tournaments again and again. But I think the highlight of this team is for the first time in years, they actually have a healthy four fast bowlers that are really, really impressive. And especially in the swinging England conditions, you know, I don't envy the position of England, Bangladesh, and New Zealand because Australia will be very tough to challenge. Pattinson, Stark, Cummins, and Hazelwood are very, very hard to face. And with the, you know, the steady contributions that we'll see from Steve Smith, Warner being in great form coming off a red hot IPL, Australia are going to be favourites again.
And you add in Lynn there as well, who had a really dominant IPL when he was fit. And it's a pretty action-packed, top-heady batting lineup. Of course, there are question marks on the middle order, but it is a strong team. Now one important thing about Australia is, whilst we always think about India and other countries having issues with administrators, Australia at the moment is locked in a big battle with the Australian Cricketers Association and Cricket Australia, where there's big negotiation happening on the actual wages that cricketers receive. And what that involves is at the moment there's a big standoff, and Cricket Australia have made it clear that if there is no agreement reached by the 30th of June, all Australian players will no longer be under contract and therefore not be paid going forward. So there's a big potential, and this is all happening in the background. The Australian cricket team is getting briefed on this as we speak at the moment, where it could actually start to distract them from their performances going forward. So it'll be one to watch as we go through this tournament. Now, Ami, what are your thoughts on the second team in Group A, the host nations, England? They choked, in all honesty, against India in the last ICC Champions Trophy final. Do you think they've improved, and how do you think they'll go this tournament?
Yeah, they also choked against West Indies in the World T20 final.
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
You know, you can argue who's a bigger striker, South Africa or England. No, I won't talk about that now. No, but look, England is definitely a very dangerous team. They have a lot of really good young talent. They have a lot of hitters. They've really, as we all know, they've changed the whole dynamic of the team to become a really more explosive unit. And it's, you know, with likes of Hales and Roy and Ben Stokes, they have players that can just take over games like by themselves. Ben Stokes also had a really good IPL, which is really great. He's coming into form. He's free of injuries from what I last heard. And you
he
know,
did pick
all,
up a minor knee strain in the last game, so he's being rested and managed, but you are right. He is a vital player for the team.
Yeah, they've got a really good chance, I think. And they've got a lot of, as I said, explosive batsmen. They have really good bowlers and they have lots of all-rounders. So the strategy has changed and Joe Root is there to sort of stabilise that whole team. He's one of the best batsmen in the world as well. So overall, they've got a really good team, really solid team, and it'll be good to see them this Champions Trophy.
Yeah, definitely. Gov?
A really interesting thing to note about England is that historically, they've performed very, very well in the Champions Trophies and the 2020 World Cups. They've really struggled in the one-day World Cups where they consistently are unable to make, you know, the final stages of the tournament. But they're a team that have sort of earned the reputation as being a big game team. They haven't really pulled out a win in any tournament in a while, but I think that's a next step for them.
Yeah, and agree. And I think they've completely changed their approach post the last World Cup. They've got a dynamic team, a team that's built for the modern demands of ODI cricket. And I expect them to go very deep in this tournament. Now moving on, and we'll throw this to Gov because, you know, we've got a big Bangladeshi supporter in here amongst the three of us. And Bangladesh, and they've been really interesting to see because they just qualified ahead of the West Indies. And I guess Pakistan were the three that were towards the bottom of that top eight team. But recently, after their first away series win in New Zealand, they're now ranked number six going into this tournament. Gab, what are your thoughts on Bangladesh and how they'll go in this tournament?
I've been saying for years now that it's going to be one tournament that comes up where Bangladesh is going to break through and win.
So let's hold this there. Are you saying right now, putting your entire reputation, which is not very strong, you know, to be admitted, but saying Bangladesh will lift the ICC Champions Trophy?
I'm not saying that. But so what I'm saying is that for the last couple of years, I've said there's going to be a major tournament, and I'm going to repeat myself so I'm not misquoted. Bangladesh will break through and win a big tournament soon. They have the talent, they have the confidence, and over the last couple of years, they've been one of the top one-day nations in the world. So with the form we're seeing from them, I think they're definitely in contention to make the final four in this tournament.
Bangladesh sound a lot like your love life, all talk and no action. Sorry, that's a low blow. And it's not entirely accurate, just for all the female listeners out there. Feel free to get in touch with us, cricket.tonight6@gmail.com, if you'd like to console Gab or take him out to dinner sometime. And finally, look, in all honesty, Bangladesh, I actually am quite looking forward to them. I agree that I think they're going to be a surprise pack at this tournament. Australia and England are probably too strong for them, but I expect them to at least beat New Zealand. Which brings us to that last team, New Zealand. And they're kind of a team there. They tend to always come in underrated into a tournament, but this tournament, again, no one's really talking about them. Army, do you think we should be talking about them, and will they go far?
I think the way that New Zealand's been is that nobody really talks about them, and they always sort of seem to creep up on you and end the semi-finals, or they've upset some big team, or they've done something great, and I think that this year they can do that again, because, you know, they also have a very very strong team, and they play very good ODI cricket. They've got a good formation. They can adapt well to England conditions. They've got seamers. They've got good batsmen. You know, Man Guptill is one of the best openers in the world when he's in form. And they also have a very good chance. I'm looking forward to seeing New Zealand play and see what they can do. They haven't sort of, like, they had a tri-series with Ireland and Bangladesh, which was really, you know, half of the team and half the team was an IPO. But they also have a lot of form with them, and they've played well. I think Kane Williamson played quite well in the IPL. So he showed he's not just someone that can dab the ball around. He can make the big scores and score them fast as well. So they've got a really good team, and they've got a good chance of going far in the tournament as well.
I think one thing to note is that because there's only eight teams in this tournament, there's not going to be a single easy match for any one of these teams. So I expect every single game to be a thriller, or hopefully anyway.
Yeah, definitely agree. And you're right, there's no gimme games. This isn't the World Cup where we've got the mites of, you know, Zimbabwe and other teams out there to boost up your averages that South Africa did a lot of in the last World Cup. This is all about winning every single game. Each team has three games to win. And the honest answer is, if you don't win at least two of them, you're probably going to find yourself out of the tournament very, very quickly. Now, out of these four teams, my prediction is Australia and England go through. How about you, Gov?
I'm going to say Australia and Bangladesh.
Australia and Bangladesh. England drop out. Interesting. That's a big call. We'll note it down. We'll write it on a piece of paper. And let us know your thoughts on whether you agree with that call or not. Army, how about yourself?
I'd probably say Australia and New Zealand.
Ooh, okay. So England also out of that top four as well. That's an interesting one.
It has to be different between us, right? We can't all have the same thing. So.
Look, I think that's fair. We don't have to differ for the sake of differing. But if you generally do believe that New Zealand will go ahead of England, that's perfectly, I wouldn't say correct, because I don't think that will happen. But I'd say it's a valid opinion to have.
Yeah.
Okay, so there it is. So what we're all agreeing on is Australia will definitely go through, and there's a bit of difference there with Army going with New Zealand, Gov Bangladesh, myself England. From my perspective, I think I'd go New Zealand's going to finish last and Bangladesh ahead of them, which is a bigger call I'll make here, but I still expect Australia and England to go through. So that's Group A, and it'll be a really interesting start to the tournament in a couple of days' time when we preview that game. Now, let's move on to Group B, which is also an interesting group. The group that India's involved in, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan. So a relatively heavy subcontinental group, some of which have question marks on their ability to handle swing and seam conditions. Army, do you feel that will be an issue for Sri Lanka? They're a relatively unknown team at the moment, unknown batting lineup. How do you think they'll go in England?
Yeah, Sri Lanka's coming in as probably the least capable team or the underdogs of the tournament. And they've even come out and said that, you know, we don't mind being underdogs. We don't mind being the people that no one notices. And they are a very young team. And, you know, I don't know too much about how far they'll go into the tournament. But they have some good players. They have a mix of experience with Lasith Malinga still playing. And, you know, they have some good hitters in there. Matthews has to step up a lot because he's the central piece. He's sort of like, if he can play like, you know, Ben Stokes does and just become, you know, a really good bowler and a really good batsman, that'd be really good. But overall, I think Sri Lanka is probably one of the more inferior teams in comparison to the rest of the tournament.
I think Sri Lanka are definitely the weakest team out of the eight teams of this tournament. And they're a big part of the reason why Group B is the weaker group.
Yeah, look, it's valid. And Sri Lanka, I'll be pleasantly surprised if they win a game or two out of this group. And they've got some really good spinners. Sandakan, who I rate very highly, and I think he'll be a mystery spinner to watch during this entire tournament. But you are right, they are the weakest group. Hopefully they go well. And it's a whole transition phase. They've had such a dominant team, being really strong performers in ICC tournaments. But now they've got a young development squad, which is still talented. And even in the practice game against Australia, for example, they actually did quite well. I think they ended up on 300 plus as their score. So they've got the talent there. It's just whether or not they can beat countries like South Africa, Pakistan, or India. Which does bring us to Pakistan as well. Now, Army, Pakistan, what are your thoughts on them and how they're expecting to go this tournament?
Yeah, Pakistan's always exciting. You never know what's going to happen. That's the main thing with Pakistan. So, you know, they've got a good team as well. I feel that, again, as Gov said, that this is a weaker group, and honestly, Pakistan's also one of the reasons why I think it's one of the weaker groups. It's not that strong in either batting or bowling. And then, of course, there's always a thing with fielding with Pakistan. They've never got it together with the field. And that's a big part of cricket now. It's not like it was back in the days when, you know, you have some fielders that were not so great.
Yep.
You really need to be really good in fielding. And you've got to take your catches. As you guys mentioned before, every game is crucial. So those missed run-outs, those drop catches are going to cost them. So, you know, if they can get all that stuff together, then I think they have a good chance. Of course, they have a look where, you know, they have a fierce bowling attack. They have good hitters. But overall, I don't think Pakistan are much of a threat.
Yeah, look, it's a good point. And kind of picking up your theme on fitness, and it was, well, I was going to say surprising, but I don't think it is surprising that Umar Akmal has been sent home from the squad a week or two out.
Yeah.
Simply from the fact he was unfit, and apparently skin folds were well above what they needed to be at that cutoff point. And that just goes to show how important fitness is. And I'm really liking the direction that Pakistan have started taking under Misbah and their current coaching staff of making fitness a mandatory piece of their decision-making process. So therefore, Umar Akmal's out. They've got a new player in. We've unfortunately seen some return to spot fixing and other allegations in Pakistani cricket. And that's meant their opener, who toured here in Australia earlier this year, is now caught up in that and therefore won't be touring. And that's disappointing, but it's an opportunity for Pakistan to go ahead and actually re-establish their credibility, which sounds like they're doing that a fair bit, and actually have a really good tournament. Gov, any other thoughts?
I think from a talent standpoint, Pakistan aren't in the top six in this tournament. But Pakistan are the most mercurial team in world cricket. And I think what's a downfall of Pakistan in a lot of big tournaments is that they lose against a lot of the minnow teams, but they usually have at least one big upset where they beat one of the good teams. So I think the format of this tournament will actually go in their favor because they won't have any minnow teams to lose to. They'll just have to play against teams that are better than them. And that will give them a real opportunity to qualify for the next round.
Yeah, valid. And they are entering the tournament ranked eighth, just edging ahead of the West Indies on the tournament cutoff date. So they are last. So you're right. They can only start beating teams that are better than them. Okay, so let's talk about South Africa. Now, South Africa is a fascinating team because on paper, you go into every ICC tournament going, you know what, I rate that team and I think they're going to win that tournament. And then at some point during the entire series, something happens and they lose the game either through their own fault or through what we like to call the choking effect for South Africa. We saw that so prior to the series, Champions Trophy, South Africa and England played off in a best of three ODI series, the last of which is being played tonight. And in that second game, South Africa, needing 10 runs off 10 balls, plenty of wickets in hand, somehow found their way to lose that game. So the question for you, Army, is South Africa in a good position this tournament? And do you believe they've finally got away from their choking issues that they've had? They won their first final in the last World Cup. Do you think they've progressed? And will they be a big force to play with in this tournament?
Yes, as you said, South Africa are one of the most strongest teams on paper. But when it gets on the field, then something just happens to go wrong. And it's honestly unexplainable at this point how a team so good cannot have any silverware to this point. And yeah, look, this ICC Champions Trophy could be where they step up. They've been in okay form overall, I think. I think if anyone's going to hold them through, this would be Abby de Villiers. But he's sort of had a lot of injury concerns lately. He didn't have a great IPL. He hasn't played much cricket. So, you know, but a while ago he had that thing where he was thinking about semi-retiring. But he really wants to get that, you know, that silverware, that trophy. So if there's anyone that's going to carry that team, it's going to be him. I'm thinking a lot of the hopes for South Africa will be based on how ABD performs.
Yeah. I think South Africa are going to do very well this tournament. I really like the bowling attack, Rabada, Parnell, Morkel, and even the young spinner Maharaj. I think South Africa, I wouldn't say they've got the monkey off the back until they actually win a big tournament, but I think they've got to a stage now where they have more confidence in big tournaments, and we'll see if they can step it up.
Yeah, agree. And South Africa, they've also got gun players like Faf and a whole range of players in there. Quinton de Kock is probably a dominant player. He's been scoring runs by the truckloads over the last 6 months. So they're all important players who are destructive in their own right. The key piece is whether they can perform at the biggest stage.
And they are missing Steyn, but I think that'll actually work in their favour. I don't think Steyn's been in great form over the last couple of years, but just because of his name, he's automatic selection. And I think it'll be a good opportunity for Rabada to step in as a lead bowler for them and really take them through to the next round.
Yeah, well, it's an important thing that you talk about is selection, because that's something that is dogging South African cricket at the moment. So the Home Ministry recently basically made the call that because South Africa's cricket team didn't meet the quota and affirmative action requirements within South Africa, South Africa would be banned from hosting any tournaments for cricket for the next 5 to 6 years. I think that's in the process of being lifted. But now there is different policies in place across the South African team. And we all saw that in the last World Cup, in the semi-final, where there was a call made, perhaps due to quotas, perhaps due to other reason, where Vernon Philander went ahead of the current, I think it was Carl Abbott at the time, and was selected ahead of him. Ami, do you feel that's going to cause any issues? Do you think South Africa have their best team or playing 11 that will be playing this tournament? Or do you feel the quota system compromises that slightly?
Yeah, I think it is going to have, I don't know about this tournament specifically, Because they have a good team and they have a lot of experience. And Bruno Fernando, honestly, is a great bowler. So his selection, you know, if it's, he's a great player and he can do a lot of good things on the field. But I think the effect is going to be shown. The whole Colpack deal sort of really, you know, got a lot of players which would at least be, you know, considered for selections, such as you mentioned, Kyle Abbott, who was very dominant recently, and Riley Rousseau, who is also the kind of explosive player that's ideal for any shorter format that's available. But I think it is going to have an effect. Unfortunately, that's a scenario and that's a situation that's sort of been in South Africa for a long time. So hopefully, you know, things get lifted and some things get changed, and hopefully they'll just feel the top 11, whoever that is, that'd be great as well. But it's much deeper than just that. There's a lot of political issues and things which go into this. So, yeah, let's just hope that South Africa don't have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And the whole transformation piece is, it's something, I do agree with in principle, the reality out there. And it's really important that young kids are out there wanting to play cricket and what is traditionally an elite sport. So I get the rationale behind this activity. We just got to make sure that for this tournament, I think they've got the right approach at the moment, which is the transformation guidelines have to be played throughout the entire tournament, not on a game-by-game basis. So kind of, you might have certain series where you've got additional members from different disadvantaged groups playing. You might have other series where you've got less of them. And I think that may be the best sort of compromise between the two of them. Now let's kind of move on from South Africa and talk about our team, India. India, the defending champions. India, the semi-finalists in the last ICC tournament. And let's kick off by talking about their squad. So the first question to ask is, new captain, Virat Kohli is the captain of India. Gov, do you feel he's the right man to lead India? And how do you think he'll go?
I think it was the right time for Dhoni to step down as captain. Virat Kohli's shown he's more than capable of leading a side to wins by his recent record in tests. Look, I think Kohli needs to get back into form. He didn't have a great IPL. He didn't have a great series against Australia before that. But this will be an opportunity for him to step up, and I hope he does that.
Ami, any thoughts on Kohli and his performance as captain, particularly the series against Australia?
Yeah, look, I think Kohli is probably the best guy to take over the reins because he is already one of the best players in ODI cricket, and then go into the record books already. So he's definitely a good person to lead, and he has shown that as captain, he does take a lot of responsibility, and he's the kind of leader that leads from the front. And his energy sort of drives people and inspires people. One thing which I did notice against the Australia series, though, was that was probably one of the worst series I've seen from him and from anyone in a long time, to be quite honest, of his caliber. He did seem to get rattled when he's out of form. So I hope, you know, if some things don't go his way and he gets some bad decisions, he starts to lose his cool, because that's always the thing with Kohli. Dhoni always kept his cool and never let anything get to him, whereas Kohli sort of shows it on his face, and that can impact team chemistry and everything like that. But overall, I do think Kohli is the right choice to go forward with. And if he's in form, then if he's in form and he's playing, then no one can beat India, I don't think so.
It's been quite a small sample size, I have to admit, but I've definitely noticed that Dhoni's seemed like he's in better form ever since he gave up the captaincy. He just seems a little bit more free and a little bit more comfortable in his role as just a batsman and wicketkeeper. People don't understand that being one of the best batsmen in the team, being the captain, being the wicketkeeper, can definitely take its toll over the years. And it'll be good to see Dhoni, over the last couple of years of his career, play to his full potential as a batsman.
Yeah, I agree. And it'll be interesting change, because you've got Kohli, who is a lot more attack-focused, whereas Dhoni was a lot more about containment and therefore winning games by taking things out deep into the game. So it'll be interesting, the different philosophies there. But also to your point, Ami, on Virat Kohli, like, I do agree, he does tend to get rattled at times when things aren't going that well. And it'll be good to have someone like Dhoni and the other senior players in the team, even Yuvraj Singh, and we'll get to him soon, on assisting him and ensuring that things remain calm and everyone's as focused as the team is expected to be during the entire tournament. What was really promising to see in the practice game is Virat Kohli had a brilliant 50 during that game. And I didn't actually watch that game, but I did read some of the commentary and some of the articles about it. And what they were referring to is Kohli was playing more inside the V and not as expansive outside the off stump through the cover region. And that goes to a really good point, where traditionally in England in the past, he has had issues getting caught out in the slips, and that will reduce the chances of that happening. So it'll be good to see how he goes this entire tournament. Moving on from Virat Kohli, let's actually go through the Indian squad, and we'll start off at the top with the openers. And we've got two openers who are first choice, I think, at this stage, which is Rohit Sharma, Shikhar Dhawan, Ajinkya Rahane has been the third opener picked in the squad. Gav, what are your thoughts on these three players?
Well, it's been a while since we've seen Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma bat together, because one of those two players has been injured for what it seems like almost a year now. I do not support the selection of Rahane in the one-day side. I think he's consistently showed that he's a subpar ODI player, but he keeps getting chances again and again. And there are guys out there like Abhinav Mukund and even Sheldon Jackson that aren't getting an opportunity, or even Chetheshwar Pujara. So there are certain players that the selectors seem to favour, and it's unfortunate that Rahane keeps getting shots again and again and again.
Ami, your thoughts on Rahane, I guess, and whether someone like Sheldon Jackson or Pujara should replace him?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on someone like Pujara or Sheldon Jackson. Sheldon Jackson actually had a nice IPL for himself. Pujara is a test batsman, and I don't think he'll be able to break that barrier for himself. In terms of Rahane, I'm a big fan of Rahane, but even I don't think that he should sort of be in the ODI squad anymore in today's game. The only thing that I sort of like with Shikhar Dhawan is that he has that explosiveness, that he can sort of dominate games, and he is the big tournament performer. So he's shown even last World Cup, and he showed in the last ICC Champions Trophy as well that he can step it up when required. But again, he's not really shown anything consistently. He had a good IPL for himself, so that was good. But overall, I think the openers is probably, it's a little weak. Rahul is injured, which is a bit of a shame, because he probably slotted into the first spot along with Rohit Sharma, who also isn't in tremendous form either. Rohit Sharma's also had injuries, and he had a subpar IPL. So that opening slot, which has been so solid for India for a long time, is a bit shaky right now.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because Lokesh Rahul would have been that first choice opener, right? At the very least into the top three with Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma, and that's a far solid lineup than Ajinkya Rahane. And I think part of the challenge I find, and why I find this situation slightly baffling, is there's this assumption that English conditions will be really seam-friendly, swing-friendly, and therefore it makes sense to have someone like Rahane, who's got a relatively good technical base, to play in the team. But the reality is, and we've seen the pitches in England the last tournament, but also more recently in series, ODI cricket is very different to Test cricket. You don't need a Rahane in the team to do it. And someone like a Shikhar Dhawan is fully capable of playing that same role, given he is a solid cricketer and has shown that in the last Champions Trophy, as has someone like Rohit Sharma. Now, you're right to call out, they're all coming off varying degrees of form. Rohit Sharma is also coming off, I think, a wedding as well recently, not his, but someone in his family. It's why he missed the first practice game, but normally I don't like it when players get ducks or don't score many runs, but it was probably nice to see Ajinkya Rahane not really perform in that first practice game, because I don't actually want him playing in our first 11 as our first choice, and I expect him to warm the benches the entire tournament.
It's a shame to see a player like Abhinav Mukund miss out on this tournament. He has an average above 50 in domestic ODIs, and he's been consistently one of the top IPL performers for the past few years. And he actually does have experience playing in England from his debut series a few years ago. So there seems to be a couple of favourites of the selectors within the Indian team, as we've been seeing for decades now. And it's unfortunate that Mukund is not in that favourite group.
Yeah, look, it's a valid point that there's certainly other players we could have looked at. Whether Mukund's the right person or other pieces, I certainly think we can look beyond Ajinkya Rahane in general from all limited overs cricket. So those are our three openers that we have, and you'd expect Rohit Sharma and Shikhar Dhawan to start off. Virat Kohli will slot in at three, and then he moved to the number four and five slot. And at this stage, you'd expect Yuvraj Singh to move into four, MS Dhoni to move into five. Now, Ami, what are your thoughts on Yuvraj Singh playing at four and also being in the squad?
I think Dhoni might play at four. He's sort of shown that as he's sort of given up the captaincy, he likes to come in at four sometimes. I'm hoping that Dhoni will come in at four. That would be a better chance for him. And he's sort of shown in times he can bat at number four. He can score quickly as well as cement the middle overs as well. So I would like to have Dhoni in at four. Yuvraj Singh, of course, is always a bit of a worry because, yes, he does give you experience and he does give you that, you know, he's won games before, he's won tournaments before. He's that kind of player. And But at this stage of his career, honestly, I don't know how much he can give you. And in England, I'm not sure how much he can do. He's always been afraid of the short ball. He's always had difficulty with the short ball. And sort of everybody knows that. He doesn't bowl much anymore. So the all-round ability is really less compared to how much it was before. So I don't know how much value he's going to add to the team. He has scored recently every now and then in India. He has come off. He's always an injury concern. He was injured throughout half the IPL. He performed in a few matches here and there in the IPL. Overall, I am not too thrilled with Yuvraj Singh coming in at 4 or 5. But, you know, the selectors have made that choice and they've gone for, I think also with the Rahane case, they've chosen to go for experience because that's something you can sort of depend on. That's the reason why they chose it for a last season tournament. They're probably deciding to stray away from players that haven't debuted yet.
So, I mean, ironic, Army, is Yuvraj Singh debuted in the Champions Trophy 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting selectors are now going back to that experience, not willing to give debuts or new players an opportunity in the big tournament. Gab, any thoughts on Yuvraj?
I just don't understand why Yuvraj is back in the team. He was said that he was too old to make the World Cup squad. A few years ago, and I still remember very clearly in the 2020 World Cup a few years ago, he struggled and it was so embarrassing to see that he couldn't even get the ball away.
Yeah.
And who would have known at that point that a few years later he'd be in the Champions Trophy squad again? It comes back to what I was saying before. There are certain players that are just in the favourite group of the selectors and they keep getting opportunities again and again. I would have picked Suresh Raina ahead of Yuvraj if he had to pick one of them. Because it's clear that India are trying to pick players with experience over younger people. And look, Yuvraj, I think Yuvraj's dad must have gotten somebody's ear and told them, my son really has to be picked for the team because it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, look, it's a valid point. And I sort of question why Yuvraj was brought back in. But it is important to recognise he did have a wealth of one-day form coming into it from the domestic tournaments. He dominated there, was clean, striking the ball. The series against England, he made a match-winning 100 there as well, most recently, only a few months ago. So there is a rationale behind why he's there. And I think partly it's also driven by his bowling ability. Now, I know he isn't bowling as much, but I think if India end up playing just Ravindra Jadeja, which is where I expect them to go, you do need that second spinner there, and Yuvraj may play that role. He's in the team. I expect him to bat at 4, not 5, despite the fact I do agree Dhoni should be at 4 and Yuvraj 5. And I'll say that on the basis of the practice game where Dinesh Kartik, who has been flown in as a replacement for Manish Pandey, has actually ended up batting at 4 in that practice game, which suggests they're looking to move Dhoni to number 5 and keep him there whilst Yuvraj Singh comes in because he's a few days away recovering from a viral fever at the moment. Now, Gov, you've got some thoughts on Dinesh Kartik, and we've got a, well, let's call it a new segment, right? We've got a new segment called Govind Krishnan's Ranting Ideas. You have a better name for that?
I think what we wanted to call it is what's grinding Gob's gears. And look, I could go on for hours about this, but we're already running over our time limit, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But
give us a 30-second download on why Dinesh Kartik should not be in the squad.
I can't believe why Dinesh Kartik is replacing Manish Pandey. I mean, first of all, he's not a specialist batsman. Second of all, he's been in and out of the team for about a decade now, and never in any one of those opportunities has he proven himself to be a competent batsman. There are so many players out there that deserve a spot in this team above him. I named a few of them before. Sheldon Jackson, Pujara, Abhinav Mukund. Did I mention Sheldon Jackson? I think I did. I mentioned him twice. But there are so many young, good players out there. And Dinesh Kartik doesn't have a good domestic average. Isn't a good IPL performer. As I said, I could go on for hours, but we only have 30 seconds today.
Look, just to be clear, the segment's name, What's Grind Your Gears, not the Sheldon Jackson appreciation 30 seconds. But Look, I agree. I don't think he should be in the squad. So the Indian selectors had a set of people shadowing the team. Kuldeep Yadav, Rishabh Pant, Dinesh Kartik, and I believe there was one other bowler in there. Thakur was a fourth player. They might have missed a fifth as well. And out of those five, they picked Dinesh Kartik because Manish Pandey, unfortunately, was injured. And that's really disappointing because I rate him very highly. But I don't expect him to play in the team. I do agree he should not be in the squad. He does, again, come from a wealth of experience in the domestic circuit where he's dominated, and I think he's the second or third best player in the last domestic season for India in the ODI world, and that's the kind of rationale behind him. But he's kind of there for the middle order, but you kind of move into our preferred top 11. You start off with Rohit Sharma, Shikhar Dhawan, Virat Kohli, MS Dhoni, Yuvraj Singh, in whichever order. Number 6 for me, it's pretty clear cut. Kedar Yadav has made the spot his. I expect him to take that spot there, and then you move into the next five players, and you'd go at least three seamers. You'd probably go Jadeja, and you potentially got Hardik Pandya and Ravi Ashwin. Now Gab, what are your thoughts on the bowling lineup and specifically the use of all-rounders? Do you feel out of Jadeja, Hardik Pandya, probably Bhuvie is in that conversation as well, and Ravi Ashwin, how would you structure that bowling unit?
Well, first of all, I would have picked Kuldeep Yadav in this squad.
So if you had to pick the squad that you have at the moment, and you know Sheldon Jackson, Kuldeep Yadav weren't available, who would you pick to be your starting 11 from a bowling perspective?
I would go with Jadeja. I would go with Ashwin. And for the three pacemen, I would rotate the bowlers. I don't think they should be a fixed 11. I think they should be trying out the many options that they have in this tournament to see what the best three bowlers are, what the three best pace bowlers are, and then carry that team forward to the final if India make it. Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Shami, Yadav, and Pandya make up a really good bowling attack. And although Pandya adds an extra all-rounder to the squad, if they picked Bhuvneshwar Kumar instead of him, I'd still be happy because Kumar can bring a little bit of batting to the mix as well.
Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on the ideal makeup? So we've got the top six, I think we all agree on. And then it's a question from 7 through to 11. Which five players would you pick in your first 11?
I'd probably pick the Jadeja-Ashwin combination. Those to come in. And then I'd probably choose... I think Bhuvneshwar Kumar is probably an automatic pick. England is the ideal place for him to be bowling, and he's really improved his game so much over the last few years. And he's become very dependable. So I'd try and get him into the squad, into the team, almost in like kind of a locked position. I think him and Ravi Jadeja would be the locks, I'd say. And then, as Gov said, it probably should be a bit of a rotation. If they're, you know, if there's a really seam friendly pitch, maybe they'll play Hardik Pandya and go for, you know, an extra seamer as well. I think Shami will also play ahead of Umesh Yadav. A bit confused with Shami because he had a great warm up game, but aside from that, he hasn't played international cricket much, especially limited overs, he hasn't played much. He always has a...
You know, for me, picking Dinesh Karthik in this squad when he's a wicketkeeper, to pick him as a batsman, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick him as a bowler in the 11 for this tournament. I could go for another 10 minutes of Dinesh Karthik, so I'm going to hold back.
Dinesh Karthik, if you are listening, we don't all share the same view. I personally do appreciate your man of the series performance in the Test series against England.
Like quite
a
while ago.
But, you know, I do appreciate you as a batsman. I probably don't think you should be in the squad right now, but you certainly do deserve your spot in the international, from an international career perspective. Look, from my perspective, I actually am going to differ slightly, and I don't think Jadeja and Ashwin should be playing together. So I'm actually going to go more seam friendly, where I'd go Hardik Pandya, Bumrah as locks, you got Shami there, and Bhuvie as the four. And Ravi Jadeja as the all-rounder. And my rationale for this is, I think Hardik Pandya adds a lot from both the batting perspective, someone who can come in and hit from ball one. Looking at quite a few statistics, it seems that Kedar Yadav is the person who has the highest strike rate in recent times for the Indian team. And following that, Pandya is there from balls one through to 15. So they're two players who can come in and start going from ball one, as well as build innings as well, that we've seen both of them do in the past. And I feel that Yuvraj Singh is someone who can come in case of players having an off day and ball a few overs of spin if the conditions dictate to it. So Ravi Ashwin for me is someone who will be bench warming, at least initially in the tournament, unless Ravi Jadeja doesn't perform well or the conditions are very different to warrant an extra spinner in the team. So that's the Indian squad. So we kind of look at Group B overall. You've got India, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. Gov, which two do you feel will go through this group?
I think India and South Africa will make it. I think India will be first ranked. And South Africa second.
Yep. Army?
Yeah, I probably agree. I can't differ on this one. It's going to be India and South Africa.
Yep. Agree myself as well. It's going to be India and South Africa to come through the group. Now let's move on to preview the start of the tournament and go through the first few games that we have. So let's start off. England versus Bangladesh. Gov, who do you think will win that game?
I think India will win this game. I think Bangladesh will put up a good fight. They had a decent warm-up game recently where they scored 300+. But if India bat first...
England.
India, England.
England and Bangladesh.
England, Bangladesh. Sorry, I have India on my hand. I'm still thinking about Dinesh Karthik. Sorry, I'm a little bit off my mark here. I think it's a great first game. I think England are the home favourites, but I'm going to call Bangladesh for a big upset to start off the tournament.
Interesting. Ami, your thoughts? Do you think Bangladesh will upset England in game one?
I've said it before. That's happened before to England. Any team has upset England, so it could happen again. I'm probably going to say no. I think England are probably going to take this game. Bangladesh have not had a very good time overseas as of late. They won one game in Ireland, in the Ireland and New Zealand Bangladesh tour. They struggled in New Zealand. So overseas, they haven't done very well at all, especially in team-friendly conditions. And with the form and, you know, the heavyweights as the, you know, you could say they're the favourites, or at least they're the home team. I think England can take it.
Yeah, look, I agree. I feel England will do it, but I will call that Bangladesh. This won't be a walkover by any stretch of the imagination. It will be a close game. England will get home, but Bangladesh will demonstrate that they do belong in this top 8 teams. So moving on to the next game, the Trans-Tasman rivals, Australia and New Zealand. Ami, your thoughts on that game and who will win that?
I think Australia is probably going to win this one. They're coming with a lot of form, so I'll go with Australia.
I'll go with Australia as well. I don't think Australia will be challenging this game at all.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's a funny one because you always expect New Zealand to form an upset. They've got the players like Williamson, Ross Taylor in the team, and a whole range of players. But I also feel Australia is simply too strong, and I expect them to get home quite comfortably here as well. Moving on to the next game, Sri Lanka and South Africa. Gov?
I have a big prediction here. I think if South Africa bat first, AB de Villiers will make a double century.
Double century.
I just think South Africa are really high in confidence.
Just a question. If, hypothetically, Sheldon Jackson was in this team playing Sri Lanka, would he make a double century as well?
No, he's not as good as AB de Villiers.
Is he close?
But I do know that if Dinesh Karthik was batting, he'd make a duck.
Well, he did make a duck in the practice game, a 9-ball duck.
AB de Villiers, I think, will step up. I think South Africa are in good form. As we speak, South Africa are right now smashing England. So South Africa are riding high right now, and I think Sri Lanka are no match.
Ami?
Yeah, it's a good, nice, easy game for South Africa to start with to go against Sri Lanka, who sort of... One thing I will say, though, is that Sri Lanka have sort of nothing to lose. So, and they've always improved. They've always impressed during these tournaments. So they could show something, but I can't go against South Africa. If they lose the first game, that'll be terrible for them. So I'll say South Africa to beat Sri Lanka in the first game.
Yeah, I agree. I feel South Africa will win quite comfortably. For me, their more challenging games will come later in the tournament when they're expected to win and the finals come around. And then finally, the big game, India and Pakistan playing on Sunday. There is a perception that India has a really good record against Pakistan, particularly in World Cups, which is correct. Pakistan is yet to win a game against India in a World Cup game. However, in the Champions Trophy, Pakistan actually has a very good record against India, and I believe is better than India at the moment throughout history. Gov, do you feel this is an opportunity for Pakistan to win one against India and get up for this giant game that exists?
I think Pakistan have a very good chance in his first game. As you were saying, Pakistan have quite a good record against India outside of the World Cups. Pakistan could pull off the upset, but if I had to put money on it, which I probably will knowing me, India will end up winning this match.
Ami, your thoughts?
One comment about India versus Pakistan, which I wanted to make before, was that even though India and Pakistan don't have the home advantage in regards to the conditions and everything, they do have the home crowd support because there's going to be tons of Indians and Pakistanis there in England. But to the game itself, I would probably say India is going to take this one and probably a cakewalk, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel India should probably go pace heavy. I think there's question marks over Pakistani teams batting in general. They've got a few good players in there, but realistically, you run through them and they should all collapse. And I expect India to win this, but it will be a high intensity game. I'm sure the talk of Bangalore and the other parts of India are all talking about India and Pakistan. And we really look forward to watching that game because it's one of those games that breaks a lot of television records and every single Indian, every single Pakistani person. And not only that, I think most cricket lovers are really looking forward to this game as it kicks off. And I'm going to go India as well. Now that's our episode for Cricket Tonight. Gov, do you have any other thoughts, final comments?
Well, I think one thing we have to say is who's our prediction to win this tournament?
That's a good point. We should do that. You've got Bangladesh. Was I hearing correctly earlier?
I think South Africa will beat India in the final. I think South Africa and India will both qualify, and there'll be a rematch in the final, and it should be an absolute ripper.
Ami, your thoughts?
Well, I'm probably going to differ from Gov. I'm not going to say Bangladesh is going to win the tournament. I'd probably say I'm going to go for India to win the tournament.
Yeah, look, I'm an inner optimist at heart, so I'm also going to say India will win the tournament. I feel this final will either be England or South Africa, but India will come through. And in all honesty, I'll be actually quite glad if South Africa won this as well. It'd be nice to see them win a tournament, but let's see what happens in 2.5 weeks' time. Look, that's it for our podcast today. We'll be back after the India-Pakistan game to deal with all the fallout from that. And thanks for listening. You can welcome to get in touch with us at cricket.tonight6@gmail.com. And that's a 6 to numeral, the shot that Sheldon Jackson probably doesn't hit, but Dinesh Kartik might in the odd tournament here or there. And feel free to get in touch with us.